With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
After the apocalypse, a story of pandemic survival. Season 1. Episode 1. The Old Man. The afternoon sun slanted warm across the river's surface. The water was high from the recent rains, and a muddy hue swirled in the shallows. Early mayflies prickled the surface here and there, and lazy ripples hinted of fish and dorsal fins. A cottonwood tree trailed its branches into the flow, creating a rip in the otherwise placid waters. In the low hiss of water sounds, a man cleared his throat. "How long you been here?" the teenager asked. Near an old shed by the water, an old man leaned back, cleared his throat again, pulled aside the protective gauze of his mask and spat. "A week or so now." He eyed the younger soul with a mix of weariness and caution. The boy continued, leaning back onto a fallen tree, feigning disinterest. Looking carefully sideways at the old man with shaded eyes. "You must have seen a lot in your time. What did you do before, you know, before it happened?" For the boy knew that the older ones liked to talk about the before times. Maybe he could get this surly old one off his guard. "Yeah, I did. I was there." The old man relaxed a bit and readjusted the weight of his wiry frame like a gymnast limbering up. "I was up north when it began. I worked my way down here where it's warmer when the first wave hit. It got pretty weird," he continued. "Once the system got pushed beyond its limits, things got bad fast." He eyed the boy and gestured with a shrug to a partially collapsed, burnt-out building, tipping into the river a few kilometers downstream. "A lot of people died." He finished as if to say, "That's all I have to say." But the boy wouldn't let it rest and pulled the thread. "I heard up north there was the dying, and those that was left in the cities took to killing each other." The old man shrugged. "Once the supply chain broke down, it was a zero-sum game. Take a place like New York City. You had 20,000 to 30,000 people per square mile, and no way to keep them fed, starving. Dying people don't act reasonably." He looked out over the water. "It sorted itself out." The boy looked over the man's shoulder, eyeing the shed and then back at the man himself. "What did you do back before, mister?" A sharp look. "It doesn't matter, boy. I was fast and smart enough to make it out into the country and stay alive. Oh, he covered 100 hard miles that first day and got out of the trouble. Those that couldn't run stayed and died. We ran and lived." His eyes clouded over with the faces of ghost. The boy adjusted his dirty mask and casually moved his hand towards the hilt of his machete, as if brushing off a bit of dirt. "You got anything to trade, mister?" The old man noted the boy's movements and squared himself. "I have some dried fish and squirrel, plus some sweet marsh plant that makes a pretty good stew. I'll feed you, kid. I have what I need here, but I'm not looking for company."
"I won't say no to a meal, mister. You've got a pretty good setup here."
"And I survive."
"Thanks, mister. Let me cut some wood for a fire,"
the boy said, smiling, unsheathing his big blade and shouldering his way casually forward. The old man rolled quickly over the log he was seated on. Landing on his feet, he took off running along the sandy shingle of the river.
"Come back here, you son of a bitch!"
yelled the teenager, taking off in pursuit. But the old man already had a 25-foot lead and was racing ahead. The old man settled into a hard pace, his homemade sandals biting firmly into the soft mud. The boy was close on his heels, swearing and slipping. A well-traveled trail opening onto the left, and the old man had disappeared into the forest and up a steep, loose, rocky climb. The kid was pretty good and was staying close. Others might have given up at the sight of the big climb. The man breathed deeply, filling his lungs, willing his heart to push blood down to soothe the burning in his thighs. Three more stilted strides pushed him over the crest, and he shook out his arms, unfolding his lanky frame for the long descent along the ridge. He could hear the kid about 25 meters back now, struggling up the loose slope. He relaxed his form and balanced his body against the downhill with long, quick strides. Through a cedar thicket and back onto the river's bank, he pushed hard now for the shed. He rounded a corner and reached for where he knew it would be. The kid was breathing hard and he came into view. He looked quite surprised, eyes wide in his dirty face as the old man settled his breathing and released the bolt of the crossbow. It struck the boy cleanly in the chest. The boy staggered a couple more steps with his momentum and fell, with that surprised look of unbelief still on his face. The old man scratched his scraggly beard and considered the kid laying on the ground, blowing bubbles of blood around the corners of his mouth. It wouldn't be long now. The old man hated to do it. He was supposed to save lives, not take them. But in this new world, after the apocalypse, the rules were different. It was every man for himself. Even so, something old and familiar felt sick inside of him. It was obvious to him that the kid was sent ahead to infiltrate his camp and catch him off guard. He saw it coming. It was his gift and his curse to be able to read people and see around the corners to what was probably going to happen next. He wasn't always right, but he was right often enough, and he had learned to trust his instincts. The kid had stopped breathing, had gone to meet his ancestors. He had been added to the great pile of bones that was humanity's legacy. What did the old man care? Why should he mourn one more death on top of the millions that had recently been rubbed out of existence? But still, it bothered him. Sure, it was him or the kid, but what was so special about him? One old man surviving in the apocalypse. What did it even matter? One more day? One more week? In the great chaotic calculus of the universe, maybe that kid deserved life more than the old man. Maybe he just snuffed out a future leader, the great savior who would rebuild this wreck of a world. The old man shook himself out of his thoughts. It was done. He wandered back into the shed he'd been squatting in and saw the old medals hanging on the wall, some sort of race medals achieved by the previous resident. The old man had a box full of similar medals somewhere in a forgotten lifetime. The old man considered it for a moment. He took a medal from the hook, stooped, and hung it around the boy's neck. He put his hand on the boy's forehead and uttered a swift prayer to their ancestors. He asked for forgiveness. He dragged the body to the river's edge and rolled it into the swiftly flowing stream.
After the Apocalypse is written and produced by Chris Russell. That's me. The show is narrated by Robert Weinheimer. The intro and outro music is by Bobby Quinn. Make sure to subscribe and please tell your friends. This show can only survive the apocalypse with your help. And be a good survivor and spread the word for us. Go on to your favorite podcast service and write a review. Like us. And one of the best ways to directly support the show is through our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/afterTheApocalypse. And links to everything that I've just said can be found in the episode and show notes. And you can find out more about our show at our website, afterTheApocalypse.me. So until next week, thank you for listening and keep surviving.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.